Live from an undisclosed location somewhere in the greater North Americas, it's time for Gotta Say It with Dr. Marvin Williams and Matt Ryan. The only sports show that goes around the stats, because stats are boring. And now, your host, Dr. Marvin Williams and Matt Ryan.
Hello and welcome to Got It, Say It in the podcast. I guess is it a Gotta Say It cast? How are we doing this, Matthew?
I really don't know. It's one of those things where you can call it any number of things. You can call it a GSI cast, a Gotta Say It cast, a...
GSI cast wins.
All right. Well, we labeled something like that before GSI cast, and it lasted all about a week.
Which much of our most meaningful relationships only lasted
yes,
about a week,
pretty
but
much.
That's another movie. But... We shouldn't say that, but there you go. It's America, and we're already there. So, again, I'm Marvin Williams, joined by Mr. Matthew Allen, which is Octavius Orenthal, Gerard Ron, 14th and a half and third.
Yo, yo.
Who's also the fourth alternate for the Olympic curling team from Johannesburg.
Let's go, South Africa.
Yep. That's how we root.
That's right.
Did they even have a curling team?
No, but I have a funky suspicion that they do have the really neat curling pants.
Yes, it's probably the head of the driver of... Never mind. So, speaking of the head
we
of the driver.
We just got inside curling. I remember. We need to bring back the Canadian Curling League.
You know, not only do we need to bring that back, we need to bring back everything we did with that. Okay, that's just gotten crazy. Speaking of crazy, let's talk about the New York Knicks. You know, here's the thing. And from what? From podcast number two, I believe we discussed the New York Knicks, and we thought they were going to be okay, right? And I guess they were okay until they ran into the Indiana Pacers.
They ran into a team that plays defense in the post. And when your most dominant post player is injured, and when Carmelo Anthony is carrying the team, and J.R. Smith is clubbing it up and taking 87 jump shots a game.
Wait, didn't he give a speech like the start of this year, like, I'm ready to be back, I know what basketball is about, I know what this means? All this other stuff, and it was supposed to be, this is going to be the new J.R. Smith, not the one making comments about his girlfriend's behind or things like that. And all of a sudden, he turns into the guy in the, what was it, the fourth game, the third game of the series with Boston. He throws the elbow and gets ejected. And
that wasn't even an elbow. It wasn't that, it wasn't anything warranted to get kicked out. Jason Terry did a masterful sell job. I applaud him on that.
Yeah.
But just as soon as the pressure was put on a little too much, everybody else around Carmelo Anthony wavered.
I believe you just said the magic word, pressure. The idea of what does it take to win at that level, at any level, what does it take to win? We see... Time and time again, a lot of people with talent. And later we're going to talk about Carmelo. We're going to talk about Vince Carter. We're going to talk about Penny Hardaway. All these names, Allen Iverson, even though he's on the list, we can say his name now. You know, Stephon Marbury, Starberry, whatever he's called. We get these cats that come in, and we sort of have this idea that because they have talent, that translates to winning, and that's not always the case. There's something else that has to happen there. There's a work ethic. There's a certain else that goes into being a winner, and rarely do we get the Tiger Woods. And I know this is not a great analogy, but this is where I'm going to go at. Rarely do we get a Tiger Woods, someone who has the talent for a game that instantly translates into winning. You know, we often talked about Michelle Wee, talent for the game of golf, not really translating into winning. And we see this with certain athletes. Now, basketball, regardless of what we might say, you do need a supporting cast. Carmelo Anthony did not get that. And, you know, he was left off, as you said earlier, on an island. You know, we were talking off mic, how no one else showed up but him. Now, you can talk about how bad his fourth quarter was. Maybe he was pressing. Maybe not. We don't know. We're not inside his head. And he has a tendency, some people say he has a tendency to sort of be, hey, it is what it is. You know, what's going to happen is going to happen. Sort of nonchalant about a lot of different things. And it doesn't always translate to, wow, this guy really, really cares about winning. He's just, sort of loosey-goosey. And I don't think he is that way. I don't know of any professional athlete that is loosey-goosey about their art and what they do. And I just can't imagine him being someone who's gotten to the level he's gotten, winning a national championship in college, playing at the level he's played at in the NBA, and being just okay with having good numbers. And maybe I'm completely misreading it. I don't know. But he doesn't strike me as someone who sort of falls in that category. But when you said somebody who plays defense, I saw it as the Knicks played against a team that refused to change. And when Mike Woodson changed his lineup, changed his strategy, the first thing I thought, and I almost text you this right at that moment, Matthew, I almost said, I think we just lost the series. Because the second you change what got you there, the second you become, oh, see, look, the heavens just opened up.
Yeah, the sign from above noting right. that our main computer's working.
There you go.
And you're right. Frank Vogel, the coach of the Indiana Pacers,
right.
And you, I heard this on the BS Report with Bill Simmons. It's the only sports podcast I really listen to. That
great
and Rich
work.
Eisen's.
Great work.
And the Zach Lowe, the head basketball writer for Grantland.com,
mm-hmm.
talked to Frank Vogel, and he was really excited about playing the Knicks because that is the perfect matchup for them. They have the big bodies inside,
right.
David West and Roy Hibbert,
right.
who can bring the pain
mm-hmm.
and play immaculate defense, and the Knicks don't have a true power forward. And even though we've come into the world of the hybrid forward, the hybrid guard, LeBron James can play all five positions and sell popcorn at halftime.
I thought he did.
Depending on the game. If it's an away game, he doesn't. If it's a home game, Section 111 gets a little
definitely
LeBron
working
corn.
For Popovich, that's for sure.
Ah. But there's a huge contingency problem on the New York Knicks.
Right.
Are they a good team? Definitely. They made it to the two seed. They were great. Like many other teams that made the playoffs this year, they were a great regular season team. But they're not ready for the dance yet. And it's because of an undefined identity.
We've said this so many times. I feel like I'm banging my head against the Belt Parkway.
You know the only thing that changed? The management and the players on the floor.
And some people say the management didn't really change. You know the whole theory that Isaiah Thompson is still... I keep saying Isaiah Thompson. Okay, we have to do this for those of us who are just now listening to us. I know his name is Isaiah Thomas, okay? And I have some horrible stories I can tell you about him as a human being that I will never, ever, ever air out in public. But here's what I would say.
And they are hilarious.
But the reason he becomes Isaiah Thompson is because when he was introduced as the head basketball coach at the University of Central Florida, the guy, the athletic director, gave this really involved emotional speech about his close friend, his mentor, his this, his that. And then he said, I want to introduce the new head basketball coach of the University of Central Florida, Mr. Isaiah Thompson. I thought Matthew would never get me off the floor. Forever to now, until the day that I leave this planet to go live on Planet Marvin, which is right next to New Jersey, it's going to be Isaiah Thompson. So, okay.
And I swear on Mark Messier's jersey, if Isaiah Thomas, or Isaiah Abdul-Rahim is running the New York Knicks day-to-day operations, I am showing up at Madison Square Garden with a picket sign, a bottle of bourbon, a good bottle of bourbon, mind you, because
okay.
I'm choosy.
You gotta be.
And I'm going to sit there, I'm going to drink, I'm going to wear a Bernard King jersey, and I'm just going to be holding up the double gun salute for 8 weeks. And I know people that'll join me.
Oh, yes. Remember, it was the Fire Isaiah campaign. They had the big pink slip outside of Madison Square Garden for a long time. How many people signed that thing? I mean, goodness.
Not enough.
No, obviously, well.
My issue with the Dolan family.
Right.
And I am an exasperated victim of the Dolan family.
In more ways than one.
Luckily, I've never had Cablevision.
Good for you.
But the way they've run these franchises, these precious social trusts, these, they're not the most successful franchises in the history of sports.
Magic. Social trust. Remember that word. Because you just hit on the head. Please don't lose your thought. But you hit it on the head of what it means to fans. It is a social trust. People invest not just money into the jerseys and not just money into whatever, but it's time. People work their jobs, wear their jerseys to work, leave from work, and invest 2 weeks of pay to go sit in crappy seats. No disrespect, but that's what's going on. It is a social trust. There is a responsibility that one has to have. And I think the idea of what the Dolans, and I don't mean to single them out because my favorite football team is the
New York Jetropolitans.
And quite frankly, our ownership is embarrassing because I look at, and I think I'm finally starting to get what it means to be a fan. Because I believe every game, whether it's true or not, that we have a chance to win. And when we play horribly, I do start to take it a little personal. Even though I know what it's like to be in the field of competition or on the field of competition, as a fan, I do take a little personal because I'm thinking to myself, why? What's wrong with this? And what the Knicks did in the playoffs and how they responded afterwards, I think is the same thing we talked about when we were live on the air all the time. The team reflects the management. If the management is flip-floppy, the team will be flip-floppy. If the management is firm, crisp, and tight, the Patriots, the Steelers, the team is tight. And there is no getting around the effect of what happens with men and with management and the team. And I think we see that. And I think we see that when we see the Knicks go into panic mode against a team that they really should have been better than. But they
had no backcourt.
But the Pacers remain the Pacers.
Danny Granger was hurt for most of that series.
What? My boy Kid. She was brilliant and beautiful. Her favorite basketball player. Wink, wink. He didn't score a point in how long? How many games? How does he disappear? How does a Hall of Famer disappear? All these things. Yes, I think when we see the team on the field, I think it's the symptom. The greater, I don't want to say disease. It comes across so horribly. The greater problem is it starts at the management. The weakness in the management and ownership reflects what you see on the team, and we're going to get more of that when we come back in the second half of this podcast. Listen to Matthew, Aloysius Octavius Orenthal Ryan. I'm Dr. Marvin Williams. This is Get It, GSI. We go hard. Hello, this is Dr. Marvin Williams, and I prescribe for you this dose of a GSI classic. Thank you. And welcome back to our GSI cast along with Matthew.
Hello.
I'm General So's Chicken. And
you are delicious, by the way.
Thank you. That's what everyone says. Anyway, yeah, it didn't come out right. So here we have the New York Knicks, right? And they get knocked out of the series when everybody thought, and it's what it seemed like, as we talked about on and off mic, a lot of the Knicks fans felt like this was the year, if nothing else, for a finals appearance. If nothing else. A lot of people legitimately thought, because of the regular season record, the Knicks were going to be able to take the Heat if they were going to indeed face the Heat. The problem was they didn't face the Heat. They faced the Pacers, who played Pacer ball, who refused to change, who refused to give in to altering their plan to be something different than what they were. And they, quite frankly, outpaced the Knicks by making the Knicks change their identity, which they didn't really have one, but at least they changed away from the winning Knicks team that we saw, or most of us saw, most of the season.
They got the team away from running, gunning, finding the right shots, and breaking down a defense.
Right. And to take that a step further, and we hinted on this earlier, I want to go a little bit more into it now. Carmelo Anthony taking the heat in some people's mind. He's not a winner. He's not a this. He's not a that. The guy won a national championship. The guy has been probably one of the best players, always mentioned in the top tier players in the NBA right now. And you know,
he saved the franchise.
He saved the franchise. And look at what he did out in Denver when he took them to a Western Conference Finals, when he was the only viable professional player on the team. No disrespect to the other cats he was with.
Including J.R. Smith.
Well said. So here you have a situation. Here he is in New York. His identity somewhat is stamped on the franchise. A lot of people complain that whenever he got the ball stopped moving, the whole nine. I get that. And to hear these comparisons, though, is something else that sort of I find very interesting. And that is when you look at guys of his talent, guys of his ability, who maybe necessarily didn't recoup the return on investment of talent to winning. You know, we talked about Tiger Woods having one of those games that the talent translated into winning. Michelle Wee, not so much in golf. We look at a guy like Charles Barkley, who was so immensely talented, so well respected, but yet and still, he could not singularly carry a team to a championship. You look at guys like, you know this is going to hurt, Karl Malone and John Stockton as a tandem, what they were able to do, but still not be able to hoist
and
the trophy.
And a lot of that is happenstance. A lot of, at least three of the names you mentioned came in an era where you were not going to, if you were in the Western Conference.
Right.
Alone in the Western Conference, there were so many teams and so many potential dynasties that you had to face up against. And there was a guy
in the Eastern Conference
with a bald head, could beat you 85 different ways, and had the perfect team for his skill set.
Every single time. So we have that situation where we see these guys, but two guys come to mind. And they come to mind as the classic example of guys who didn't have the will or mental fortitude to be a leader on a team that won a championship. Vince Carter and his cousin, Penny Hardaway. And for Vince Carter, I think of someone who was the next, right? Remember, Vince Carter was supposed to be the next step. Post-Michael Jordan, had the Michael Jordan ability, had the Dominique Wilkins had the Michael Jordan presence, had the Dominique Wilkins jumping and scoring ability. He was supposed to represent all these things about the next step away from Jordan that we're supposed to get in the NBA. And I think of a 2-week span of where we got a really strong insight into Vince Carter's mentality. And that was in the 2000 Olympics. That was what, Dream Team 3?
Yeah.
And he was sort of representative of the leadership of that particular dream team. No one could follow up on what the first Dream Team did. We get that.
The second Dream Team was an embarrassment.
The second Dream Team, yes. But the third Dream Team.
An abomination? An aberration? Another A word?
You remember the one highlight of him dunking over the guy from China?
Yeah.
The guy was 7'1", 7'2", and Vince goes over the guy's head to dunk the ball. The other highlights I remember from that Olympics is him trying to be Charles Barkley and trying to out-physical and intimidate all the other players. And he came across as a braggadocious bully. And you could tell, one, it wasn't his personality. Two, you could tell he was not as comfortable with that leadership role with under that kind of pressure. And he cracked. And what I saw in Vince Carter from that Olympics to every season he had as a key player after that. Because after that, he went from, help me out.
He went from the Raptors.
Raptors.
To the Nets.
To the Nets. To Phoenix. Was Phoenix next, or was there someone in between? Doesn't matter. You saw this guy.
He had all the potential to be the physical skills.
And the best opportunity he had was with the Nets. He had another guy with his sort of skill set, Jefferson, playing opposite him.
He had the point guard.
Had the point guard.
He had the team to do what he needed to do. But the problem is he needed to be the – he was a guy that could either resign himself to the background, sulk, and walk away, mm-hmm. or the guy that needed to be in the limelight. He couldn't find a happy middle.
Right. And once again, it speaks to your mental ability. Here's what I would say. Shaquille O'Neal, perhaps – one of the most gifted big men will ever see play the game. I would put Shaquille with Jabbar, with Chamberlain. I'd put him in that class of big men that we saw play the game. He had no problem playing Robin to Dwayne Wade's Batman. No problem. Why? Because he knew at the end of the day, you know, that's my favorite phrase,
mm-hmm.
a ring is a ring is a ring. And that there's no way, even if he was a bench player, that he would be ignored. He did the same thing when he went to Boston. He stepped back to Garnett, to Pierce. His short time in Boston,
And he found a way to be beloved.
Because that's the kind of guy, he's comfortable in his own skin. If you remember when Kevin Garnett went down that season, who stepped up?
Shaquille O'Neal.
Shaquille O'Neal with those bad knees, his bad back, those bad shoulders, one bad foot, stepped up, gave 30 plus minutes a night. And the stories about how much ice they had to wrap him with was hilarious. But he said, okay, you need me to step up, I'll step up. As soon as Garnett came back, remember Garnett tried to defer? What did Shaquille say? Your team, man. Where he wants to go, Cap? No hesitation. No controversy.
It's a cultural disparity. There's, in sports, in every level now, there are certain players who get it and certain players who don't. And certain players get coddled because they have so much raw talent that, pardon me, they have so much raw talent
mm-hmm.
that it supersedes everything else. And they'll look through all the darkness, find that one speck of light, and just keep trying to mine that light and not work with the darkness. They don't try. Because Shaquille O'Neal, very smart man, very Absolutely. Educated man.
Yep.
He found an outlet outside of basketball.
Absolutely. Multiple outlets.
And a lot of these other guys
have nothing.
Allen Iverson being the key one. If you read that piece about Allen Iverson when he returned to Philly, I believe it was on Grantland. If not, it was on Deadspin. It was one of the two, and it was depressing.
When you live your life for you, when you love you some you, and when you're that type of person, and everything is about you, when no one pays attention to you, and you're surprised, I go back to mentality. I go back to capacity. I go back to, I'm going to say, this is what it's going to sound horrible. She was brilliant and Brie was going to hate this. It goes back to ignorance. It goes back to intelligence, lack of intelligence. Because
Not just intelligence, but awareness.
Well, I'm going to say intelligence, and I'm going to tell you why. You know, reactive creatures who, I'm hungry, I eat, I'm tired, I sleep, no plan. You know, beyond awareness, the ability to develop awareness. And when I see cats, we're not going to tell the Allen Iverson story again. I guess we should do our own separate podcast on this. But Allen Iverson, a guy who, with abilities and with that he had, the capabilities that he showed, how many people were waiting to get that talent displayed? And the chance that we got was the year he took Philly to the finals, basically by himself, ran into the Lakers, mm-hmm. no more. We got one year where we saw what he could have meant to the NBA if he would have put that effort in all the time. But we're talking about practice. And guess what? Winners do practice. Winners do work on it. Winners don't just wait for you to tell them how good they are. Winners don't wait for you to tell them, man, how awesome were you? Winners go out there. Wayne Gretzky stayed on the ice. And you know this is going to pain me to say this. Kobe Bryant stays on the court. Certain players who do whatever it takes to win, regardless of their talent, go for greatness. Tiger Woods lives at a range. On the course, good enough never is. Those guys play against something else that many people can't understand. They're playing against history. They're playing against legacy. And left out of this conversation was Penny Hardaway. How he was everywhere. Little Penny, all the commercial, you know, same time. What happened to that? Nothing. Because this is going to sound horrible. He lacked the fortitude, the mental fortitude and ability to be all that he was told he was.
But is that learned or is that inert? That's the thing. Because there needs to be a galvanizing moment.
I think you can learn it. And by saying that, I think whatever that moment might be, maybe it's getting cut from your high school basketball team. Maybe it's not getting the scholarships to the top ones. Maybe it's not getting drafted in the case of some players. Maybe in some places getting drafted in the sixth round. Jet should have took him. You know, whatever it is. But because of that, you learn from that experience and find out, well, why did these guys pass me? I'm going to work so hard to make everybody pay for it. So, yes, it can be learned. But you have to be willing to do what you need do. To put yourself what you need to put yourself through in order to take that step. And quite frankly, you know, is Carmelo that guy? We'll see. Hopefully he's not a Vince Carter, Penny Hardaway.
I don't think he is, because it seems like he cares.
Right.
He has the drive and he has the ability to do it.
Right.
He just has befallen himself in the situations. And also look at the draft class he came into.
Wow.
With all the expectations.
Oh my goodness,
the
yes.
situations he fell into.
Yeah.
The Darko Milicic situation. That's why there's so many extemporaneous factors that go into these things.
You're right. I'm not laughing because, well, yes, I am. I'm laughing. But here's what I see. I see when you have talent, you rise. Even if you're working with crap, you still find a way to rise.
But he did.
It doesn't mean you're going to win. All right? Like this situation.
He scored 39 points in that
He
game.
Did his job.
He did
no
his
one
job.
Else showed up. So, what I'm waiting for is, and we talked about this on another podcast, how you do what you do. When Charles Barkley was on those Phoenix Sun teams that were like, what? Right? He was still so outstanding. It was like watching Da Vinci and a bunch of preschoolers. He was still that good that you still knew, wow, you know, Charles got game. Chucky's got game. And we see that Melo has game, but I want to see that mental side too. I want to see that before I put him either in the Chuck category or the Carter category. And there you go. We'll get more on this and other illustrious games, specifically the Canadian Curling League. Along with Matthew, I'm Dr. Marvin Williams, or Marvin. And thank you for listening to Gotta Say It. I Gotta Say It cast, number 5,755, 111.
Six.
Or six. Again, you can follow us at GottaSayItRadio.webs.com. Tweet us at GottaSayItRadio. Or email the show at GottaSayItRadio@gmail.com. And let us know what you think about the future. And don't forget, no matter where you are, go hard.
This has been a presentation of the GSI Radio Network.